This morning, I am preaching from the sermon title, God Moves Us to Empty Ourselves. Or it could be Dead Man Walking. I remember the last time I saw my brother. It was a warm spring morning in Arkansas. The last day of my spring vacation and the day that I would return home to New York. I got up early because I knew that he had to go to work, and I wanted to see him off and say our final goodbye. My brother was tall. He was about 6'3", so I had to look up to see his face. As I looked up, the sun was shining over and behind his head. It blinded me momentarily, and I could not see his face for the rays of the sun that were shining into my eyes. But I could hear his voice as he told me, "Get home safe. And I love you." I could smell the combination of soap and deodorant on his freshly showered body. I could smell the fabric softener in his t-shirt as I pressed my face into his chest as we hugged. I could feel the strength of his arms wrapped around me and the joy of being in his presence. That morning, I did not know that would be the last time that I would see him. I often wonder what I would have said or done differently had I known that I would not see him again. Would I have held him to me closer just a little bit longer? Would I have kissed him on his cheek rather than shoved his shoulder at the end of the hug? Would I have given him something special to mark the moment of what would be our final goodbye? Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, was amazing. Somehow she knew that this would be no ordinary time spent with her friend and teacher. She alone, it seems, knew that this would be her last chance to show him how much he meant to her. The text tells us that 6 days before the Passover, Jesus went to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. Martha was doing her usual, running around serving and making sure that her guest was comfortable and well-fed. Lazarus, this once dead, now living man, was justifiably taking it easy, lying in repose at the table with Jesus. And Mary was precisely where you might imagine her to be, where we have seen her before, sitting at Jesus' feet, soaking up every word that tumbled from his lips. The story then takes a strange turn. Mary takes out an expensive bottle of perfume made of pure spikenard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped it with her hair. Now, needless to say, this was very strange behavior for many reasons. The perfume she used, according to the text, was the equivalent to a year's salary. Spikenard to this day is quite expensive. When I went online looking for some to burn this morning in the sanctuary, I found that pure nard was $72 for a half an ounce. Now, doing the quick math, that would be $2,300 for a pound. So you know I did not buy a pound of spikenard. I bought a 10 milliliter container that cost me $35. The bottle was this big. I wanted to use it in service this morning so that we could smell the scent as we heard the story, as a means to help transport us out of this sanctuary and into the room with Jesus. I wondered as I opened the bottle of nard upon receiving it, does sacrifice have a scent? Is there a special aroma to mark the greatest loss the world has ever known? Mary pours out the treasure that she has set aside for the Savior and wipes his feet with her hair. Strange behavior, Mary. For surely we recognize that a woman uncovering her hair and then wiping it on the feet of a man would at any other time, with any other person, be unthinkable. It would simply not be done, but Jesus allows it. I believe Jesus allows it because he understands why she does it. When Judas objects out of supposed care for the poor, Jesus says emphatically, "Leave her alone." She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. But Jesus wasn't being buried that day. What a strange thing for Jesus to say as a rebuttal to Judas. It seems that not only Jesus and Mary knew that he was a dead man walking, but they knew that this was it. His days were numbered and his body would not be available for anointing. The time spent at Jesus' feet was effort well expended for Mary because it afforded her an intimate knowledge of the unforeseeable future. As a result of her time spent at his feet, she knew this would be the only opportunity to anoint the body of the one she loved, and so she poured out the most precious thing that she had. Because our sense of smell is so closely tied to our memory, she wiped his feet with her hair, picking up some of it that she might continue to smell and remember Jesus and Jesus' sacrifice. To this day, the smell of cinnamon rolls takes me back into my grandmother's green kitchen and the love that I felt poured over me as she taught me how to bake. To this day, my family expects me on every holiday to fill our houses with the smell of baking cinnamon rolls because my grandmother taught me. And so now we still have her cinnamon rolls on Thanksgiving and on Easter and on Christmas and on birthdays. And when anyone requests it of me, I make them. And as the smell fills the house, I think of my grandmother. The smell of heat rising from the hot pavement takes me back to summers running through the fire hydrants of New York City with, as you saw, the waves of heat rising off of the pavement and you smell the bodies of hot and sweaty summer children and you smell the kind of stinky smell of water coming out of the hydrant, all mixed together, always reminds me of my childhood in New York. The smell of Estee Lauder Youth Dew brings a smile to my face and memories of my mother, for it was her favorite perfume, and she wore it often. And I know that I am not alone, because a few years ago, I was shopping in Marshall's in Connecticut, and a woman that I did not know came up to me and asked, "Are you wearing Red Door perfume?" I said, "Yes, good nose." She smiled a sad smile and said, "It reminds me of my mother. My mother used to wear Red Door perfume. Do you mind if I smell you? My sentiments exactly. But I can see in her face that she wanted an even deeper memory of her mother. So although I was a little bit creeped out and just slightly uncomfortable, I stepped forward and allowed her to smell me and remember her mother. Mary wiped her hair with that scent so that in the days to come, as Jesus was spat upon, beaten, and ultimately crucified on Calvary's cross, she would have that scent to remind her of better times spent with her Savior. I imagine that as she sat at his feet at the cross with his mother, the scent of her sacrifice was still there. Mary gives us the example of what extravagant love can accomplish. Her extravagant love for Jesus makes it possible for Jesus to show extravagant love in what follows, the washing of the feet of his disciples, the handing of himself over to be arrested in the garden, the carrying of his own cross, the dying, the rising, and the ascending. As I pondered this text, I wondered if Mary's extravagant offer did for Jesus what it did for her. I wonder if for the next and final week of his life, the scent of the spikenard lingered. I believe that it is possible because when I opened up my bottle and took that little plastic cap out so that I could pour it into another bottle, because I told you, spikenard costs $35 for 10 millimeters. And so I had to dilute the spikenard. And I was taking it out of the bottle that it came into, putting it in another bottle so that I could dilute it, not only so that I could stretch it, but so that the smell would not overwhelm you when you came into the sanctuary this morning. And as I was taking this plastic cap out of the bottle, some of the spikenard spilled on my hands. And I was like, this is a stinky smell to carry around on your hands, because spikenard by itself is strong and pungent. And I went on, I washed my hands, I showered, and still that scent lingered. I smell now, several days later, and it is still faintly there where it spilled as I opened the bottle. Through all of the hand washing, through the showers, the scent is faint, but it is still there. So I imagine that the scent of Mary's pound of nard lingered with Jesus for many days, despite the dusty roads that he traveled. I imagine that just as the scent comforted Mary and reminded her of better days, it comforted Jesus and reminded him that better days would come on the other side of the cross. This whole story reminds me that God is often up to unexpected things with and for and through unexpected people. People expected the Messiah to be like King David. What they got instead was a former carpenter and itinerant preacher. The crowds who welcomed Jesus a few verses after these expected Jesus to throw out the Romans who were subjugating them. Instead, he was crucified by them. Even his followers expected his crucifixion to be the end of the story. It turns out, to be just the beginning. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Can you smell it? For us,
When we smell the aroma of Mary's perfume rising up off the biblical page and in our sanctuary this morning, we know it has something to do with death, but by faith and through grace, we also sense that there is a definite sweetness to this aroma. In this text, Jesus is thinking of his farewell. He is a dead man walking. His death is imminent. Mary's act reminds us, what you have to do for somebody, do it now. An older lady in my home church used to say, give me my flowers while I am still living. Indeed, let us empty ourselves while there is yet time, for we never know when today will be our final day. The last time I saw my brother, I did not know that it would be the last. And I will never know what I